Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Leo Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. First off, thank you so much for checking out this episode and making your way over to this series. Hopefully you like what you hear enough to hit that subscribe button. We put out three new interviews every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, and know what's happening in the music world. Of course, you can find us at all the major spots. That includes iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, and YouTube. And I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm going to be talking with the one and only Mick Fleetwood. The Fleetwood Mac drummer has re-recorded a song from the band's 1995 album Time, a spoken word thing that he, in fact, does the lead vocals on, called These Strange Times. Now, of course, just knowing that title right there, you can probably expect why he's decided to re-record it now. But we're going to talk about that, as well as sorting through the information that we're all receiving and how that works its way into the song. We'll talk about 1995's Time and the importance of the changing lineups. That was one of the most different lineups that the band has even seen, even to this day. One that, even though it was in the 90s, did not include Stevie Nicks or Lindsey Buckingham. But it's also a time that proves just how fluid this band is, and that's definitely a subject we're going to be tackling in this interview. And then we'll turn the clocks way back. Mick's been talking a lot this year about those pre-Buckingham Nicks days, especially with a new box set. We're going to hear about what makes that era special, and specifically the album Then Play On, how it was a turning point, especially for the band not being just a blues band anymore, but also showcasing really, everything that was great about Peter Green, who helped found the band. After that, we'll bring it into present day with a lineup that now includes Mike Campbell and Neil Finn. And we're going to hear about Mick Fleetwood's hopes for the future. Will there be new music? It sounds like it's quite the possibility. Also of note, by the way, this was recorded over two different sessions. So if you hear a little difference in the audio, that's what's going on here. So let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Mick Fleetwood.
Hey, it's Mick Fleetwood.
It is a pleasure to talk to you. And under such interesting circumstances, too, because with everything that's happening this year, you have gone and re-recorded These Strange Times, a song that was originally on a 1995 album called Time. It's probably an obvious question, but what prompted this?
It sort of is an obvious question, but it's a very appropriate one and a real one, was that, you know, anyone and everyone has sort of a line in the sand of making a lot of questions about what to do and how to do it and how to really get through what is a strange time for all of us. And I know that, and we all know that. And out of that came a positive, which was much like I'm sure many people that are, you know, certainly more inclined to be in the creative. And I know that I'm blessed being able to do that. I also know that a lot of people have much more, you know, going out and wondering how to get the kids to school and the rest of it. I am mostly blessed that I'm able to sit and say, what can we do? How can we do, and how can we reconfigure a nice positive outlook on everything, which we all need to do? So out of that came the idea that in these strange times, it seems very appropriate. And I blundered into it just listening to stuff. And I went, this seems like it should, that was almost not the right time back in the day to release that, but it's now. So I reworked the whole song with Becca Bramlett, who sang on the original, and she did a whole load of fantastic chanting, and Rick Vito, who's also been in Fleetwood Mac in years gone by, and I worked with a lot in my blues band for many, many years. We just went in, reproduced it, really with the mind of having this come to life again, and have some relevance with the situation that we're all sitting in. And that's how it happened, and it led to really just an idea, a good thing for folks to remember, that a little spark of an idea, sometimes don't give up on it, let it flow. And the end result is really not to indoctrinate, not to beat people over the head with sort of too strong of an opinion. But I will say that if you quietly listen to not many words that exist on the track, but it's really all about just taking a breath and wondering what side of the line you feel. It's not religious, it's not political, it's just really a train of thought and a hopeful end result that doors will be left open, you know, to receive information that has some relevance to the listener. And whatever that might be is really their private business.
Yeah, there was a line you said. I mean, it's a very powerful song, and hearing you talking about, you know, pay attention to the information coming your way, because that seems to be exactly how we are where we are. So I completely agree with you. I don't think there was, you know, a better time for this this track to be done. And musically, the update on it, it's so expansive and it's so big. So I know it's not a question, just a big compliment that I'm throwing your way there.
Well, that fits really well, because in terms of just, you know, looking at oneself, and not to be me, mine conversation here at all, and I mean everyone, I think it is reflective on how you're handling things, whoever you might be, and hearing that makes me feel really good, because I haven't really been in what we would call the forefront. I've been in the background, God knows, with the history of Fleetwood Mac, and been hugely involved. But I've never really done very much on my own. And this is sort of interesting for me, and I'm hoping it leads to all sorts of dada-esque things that can be anything you want, really. And so I take that as a quiet compliment of encouragement.
I'd be curious, actually, musically, how you wanted to update it, because it's not like a cover of an old song of yours. I mean, it is, but there is an update to it. What did you want to accomplish musically with the song?
Well,
sonically, just being a musician, getting a second chance to redo something is sort of God's gift to a musician within reason. And that obviously presented itself, and it was done in 1995. And I just wanted to get involved in doing it. And in truth, I suppose even somewhat selfishly, just wanted to re-express some things that I had in mind now, in the present tense of the word. And also Becca Bramlett, who sang on the original, worked so hard with me, like redoing vocals and redoing a lot of the chanting part of this song, the representation of this song. And we just got in the trenches, and one thing led to another. And then I've been working with Rick Vito, who both Becca and Rick at one point were in Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. Not many people know that, but it's certainly a good mention in this conversation. And I have a long, long, long standing musical and personal friendship with Rick Vito, which is actually segued in to do with Peter Green on the end of the song. You'll hear a little segment of Albatross. Mm-hmm. That's me and Rick doing that. And I just really wanted to tonally bring it home in some of the ways that was not represented before, including Becca and of course Rick, who did some incredible guitar work on this track. And I readdressed the drums, you know, willingly so. and you're never quite sure, because sometimes when you mess with something, this really offered up, and it's sometimes really debatable if you have, this song was never heard by anyone, really. It was not on a hugely successful album, The Truth of the Matter. So had this been something that was sort of almost presented itself as untouchable, like, why would, you know, you redo a song that's just a complete classic that is ingrained? You as a person, especially someone that's re-singing something, I mean, can you imagine what would be the purpose in Stevie doing a studio version of Dreams, for instance? I would say that's highly unlikely, and probably, unless it's completely different and she's doing it in a completely different way, you'd leave it alone. Well, that's a song that's incredibly well known. This song was probably not even heard by anybody, spoken word, whatever you want to call it. So it offered up a much more comfort level with going in and reconfiguring it. And that's what we did. And one thing led to another, and now I'm on the phone doing interviews when really this was something I was doing at home, initially with Becca, reworking a song, because it just seemed so relevant. And it probably, not probably, I don't think it was that relevant, one, to be on an album all those years ago. Secondly, it's a sort of odd, ugly duckling to even be on an album. I think I remember having to persuade my fellow band members that the track would go, would maybe make it on the album. So this is sort of a celebration of where we are now, and it is, to me personally, hugely relevant to some of the emotional feelings that we're all feeling, that these are strange times, and we are all going to get out of it, and we are going to come out of it hopefully with a presence of mind that, to quote a Fleetwood Mac song, like world turning. The world is turning, and it's sort of upside down, and at some point your feet are going to be back on the ground. And within that sort of framework, what is it when your feet are back on the ground that you can actually really take a positive read on this period of time when everyone emotionally, physically, God knows, have been challenged? And how do you go forward with a presence of mind, with some choices to maybe, I think the underlying thing is not an indoctrinating political or religious statement at all. It's just a pre-thought of what if we all consider that there's something that you can come out of this period and address some things that may, you may have had time to think about how you go forward in the future.
It also does give, you know, some of us an opportunity to look back on a record that wasn't, you know, all that successful, wasn't as celebrated. In when I look at it now, you know, when we're talking about that record time where These Strange Times originally came from, you know, with Fleetwood Mac, you talk about legendary songs, but there's also that conversation of the lineup. And this is probably, this is kind of like, to me, maybe the stepchild lineup of Fleetwood Mac. But it also proves that this band is absolutely fluid. I mean, do you see it like that? As long as, I guess, you and John are there, everybody else sort of cyclones around you all.
Well, it's sort of always a little strange to sometimes try and be tastefully, graciously objective about talking about yourself, or in this instance, me and Don. And yeah, we've been through thick and thin, so to speak, to quote an English phrase. And the whole one thing I've noticed about talking not only with you but with other people, that obviously this is all connected just because I am connected to Fleetwood Mac and what we've done and what we haven't done and what we could have done and what could have been and what was, all these things which are hugely convoluted in terms of, if you put it on a piece of paper as a script, you'd say this is a complete fantasy, right? It's not true, but it's sort of interesting. Well, if you apply that train of thought to a musical journey, I think that's what I'm getting in what you've just sort of asked me, is that this album, for instance, is part of a journey. And it goes up and down, round the mulberry bush, through success, through almost losing the plot, and two funny old actors happen to be in the play all the way through every scene, which would be me and John, ostensibly. And then, obviously, major elements where band members, of course, were hugely contributing to our legacy as a band, all of us, anyone who's been in Fleetwood Mac. And I think there's been about 18 people that have come through the ranks of this strange entity with very obvious moments that are hugely pronounced. And the more pronounced, like the Rumours lineup, for instance, it's obvious that and the beginnings of the band, which happens to be touched on in this piece. Anyone out there, when I mention A Man of the World, that's Peter Green. And Peter started this band with me and then John shortly afterwards with Jeremy Spencer, just the four of us. Those two pivotal moments were the beginnings of the band and what people gravitate towards, understandably, as being a major, major poster of what represents Fleetwood Mac. What we're talking about now is the story in between. And there's a huge story. And without that in-between story, there would be no band. If Bob Welch disappeared and four or five albums, or certainly four albums, made with Bob and Christine and Danny Cohen, Jeremy Spencer at the beginning, Kiln House, all these strange albums, Time being one of them, that Dave Mason, of course, was in the band on that album, mm-hmm. with Becca Bramlett, Billy Burnett, who went on to do some great work with Fleetwood Mac. So this is an interesting segue in our interview here, but it is part of explaining how you get back to something, and I was able to do that with this track and have it resonate. And really, I got some feedback. I thought this was something I was just going to do at home. And then I started playing it for people, and I thought, well, I wonder whether anyone out there would even be interested in having it re-released. And I got great feedback from Rhino, who's basically Warner Brothers, our old record label. And from that point on, it became sort of a different story, where we decided to put visuals to it and really finish it off and put it out. And here we are on the phone talking about it.
You had been putting a spotlight on those really early Peter Green days, obviously, after losing him and the Celebrate the Music of Peter Green live show with the early albums getting, you know, the re-release and then Play On really getting a spotlight on it as well. This seems like a really pivotal moment for you all, too, because that record, to me, it was the moment you all proved that you were more than maybe a blues band, just a blues band. I mean, it seemed like a real turning point. Had you all been feeling restless at that point?
No, I think Peter was. And that's why I have such deep regard for his journey when he was in Fleetwood Mac, which, you know, when I look back, it was so short, really. It was not even hardly 2 years or something of that nature, when so much work was done. When you look at albums like when we absolutely were dedicated, Peter was, we were all dedicated to playing our best that we could with our heroes, which were all inspired by American blues, almost entirely, and early rock and roll and skiffle and weird bands like The Ventures, and all sorts of the hodgepodge of which, by the way, was very much the story, almost entirely without being speaking for anyone. But when you talk to people like Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin, that all our heroes, early Yardbirds, The Animals, we were all really telling the same, Rolling Stones, of course, all telling the story that a bunch of funny little English dudes were just absolutely enamored and hero worshipping all the music, mainly early rock and roll, and of course really early blues music came out of the United States. And we reworked it almost in the same way as me answering you and said, well, what did you do? Or you reworked an old song. That's almost the same process as a lot of the real nuts and bolts of the beginnings of bands that then became, took that real education or whatever you want to call it, inspiration, and then ran with it and reinterpreted it. And of course, we all know those stories. And early Fleetwood Mac, Then Play On, is that album. It was sadly the last album that Peter made, but it was a huge indicator of where we were heading as a band. And it was a turning of events. And the turning of the events was Peter feeling way more able, whatever the word would be, comfortable, confident, or the necessity, one of those channels, to express himself more. And with huge ability, he did that with very lovely, obvious influences. But he also had now a new secret ingredient, and that was his own self-expression. And that, to me, is what Fleetwood Mac has hopefully always been. And why maybe we have survived is that anyone and everyone that's ever been in this band has been able to feel free to express themselves and not duplicate and be that. We know those bands where you go, well, that's a great new member of the band, but really, I won't mention who they might be because it's all fine. We just didn't do that. Ours was almost a recipe for failure, where the stage was set and they opened, me and John were able to, probably because, for sure, not only our sensibilities as people, but also as musicians, a rhythm section needs a front line to express himself. So we just made that choice. I certainly, most certainly did, that when various wonderful musicians came into this band, they came in because of who they were and who they became as writers or singers or the tonality of the way they played. And that's our story. And it's sort of a quiet miracle that we survived. And it's also a huge, lovely testimony to our audience that stayed with us more or less through all those changes.
Did it ever feel like now, especially the way history has drawn the mark, that that's two different bands?
Well, not to me. If someone from the outside, for instance, would be in England, you may make comment about something I didn't. I did fairly recently in London, which was an overture, really a thank you to Peter Green, who formed the band, who sadly passed away about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And we made this incredible concert in London, and that was the original band. So if you take the original band and people in Europe, especially England, and then we sort of disappeared. And then we went to America and came back, you know, some time later, with a very different lineup. They would go, oh my God, it's a different band. But for me and John, and Christine to some large extent, we just morphed our way without really realizing we were changing that much, because we were just carrying on undercover in a different country. So I don't look at it like that, but I can totally get you put on Blues Jam at Chess, and then you put on Rumors or Tusk, you go, oh my God, it's a different band. But thankfully, me and John, having played on all of that, and of course many of the other lovely musicians through many, many years of changes, it's really one big story to me, what chapter to chapter to chapter. But if you drop the book, if some a member of the audience, so to speak, walked out and went into the car park and forgot to go back into the concert, they wouldn't know what had happened in between. And then they come in for the encore and go, oh, what happened? So I look at it like that. But, it's sort of twofold. Some people have that story where there's lots of continuity to a strange and very interesting story musically, most certainly, and certainly sociologically and emotionally is a given with Fleetwood Mac. Or you could say, I remember them from the times that you're talking about, which would be back in the 68 through Peter Green's period, and then I stopped, and then suddenly I picked up Rumors. That would be like picking up a different book, and I agree with that.
It's an amazing career. It's an amazing catalog. I'm personally excited about where you all are right now, or where you've been, at least been in the past couple of years. Obviously, that's the part I can speak to. I'm a Neil Finn nut. Of course, Mike Campbell is one of the greatest musicians of all time, you know, and seeing them play with you guys. I mean, I talked to Mike earlier this year, you know, about Fleetwood Mac and his new Dirty Knobs record, and you can still hear the excitement, you know, just beside himself that he gets to play these songs. And, you know, that I know it means as much to him as it does to me.
I'm sitting in actually my mother's armchair, believe it or not, like character in Psycho, but anyhow. and I'm looking at a Gretsch guitar that Mike and one of his lovely guitar techs gave me on the road. It's right in front of me. It's an orange semi-acoustic electric with a wang bar. And it's right in front of me, and I don't play guitar very well, but it's sitting here. So that's sort of ironic that Mike is in the room.
Well, I'll ask really quickly here. I know we're in a new chapter here. As you were back in 95, you know, referencing time, is there still more to be written on the album side of Fleetwood Mac?
Well, I hope so. I think I've had this conversation the last 50 years. When there have been moments when you think it's come to a halt, and by circumstance everything's come to a halt. I keep remembering that song, that The Day the Music Died.
With Don McLean.
Don McLean, yeah. So we're going through, certainly in our business, and you're connected to that, not to be exclusively, everyone's had a lot of things stopped, but it is fair to say that that song says, did it come to a dead end, and can we get it started again? So with Fleetwood Mac, I've always said that. And mercifully, if you look at the history, we've always managed to do something versus nothing, even with long breaks. So I'm always hopeful of that. And if that was not to come to pass, I am really, really, you're right. I think you started the interview by saying you're somewhat reflective of looking back at things that are coming out from the past. But I think you always have to look to the future, and our history represents that. We've never really ever completely given up, and I hope that adage still bears credence in our conversation.
Mick, I'll go through the quick lineup here once again. These Strange Times is this really powerful new single that you've put out. You've got all the classic records from the Peter Green era being collected, and then the Celebrate the Music of Peter Green live show, which looked like it was just an amazingly special night to be a part of that. It's a lot happening right now, and I'm glad that, you know, we're all here to hear all of it. So thank you for that.
No, and likewise, it's a lot of these things, and anyone listening, because we're having a fantastic musical, life-touching conversation, but not a moment with all of us in this conversation, and anyone out there listening, we're all aware of what we're going through, and in my story would be, you know, not a self-indulgent one, but a reflection of, I wouldn't have probably done all of this lovely creative stuff if I hadn't been sitting at home. And I understand also that there are hundreds of thousands and millions of people who are not able to just sit at home. And I want to just say that when all of our various feet are back on the ground, there is something to look forward to, and we have to have that sensibility. And I hope the song just reminds us of that. And if nothing else, that would make me happy.
Beautifully said and absolutely true. Mick, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for the conversation today. And again, 50, 60, whatever years worth of music on top of that. Thank you so much.
More to come.
More to come. That's what I want to hear. Okay. Thank you so much. We'll see you around.
Okay. God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Oh, my thanks, Mick Fleetwood. Again, that new solo cut is called These Strange Times. And look out for those that box set as well, and the live album celebrating the life of Peter Green. Thanks to you for checking out this episode. Again, hopefully you liked what you heard enough that if you're not already a subscriber, you will hit that subscribe button. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, Podchaser, wherever you like to get your podcasts from. We'll bring you brand new interviews, 3 a week, one Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, including Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all of those at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along there as well. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.